Roth, 6 a.m.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time you smoked. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke.
Look, he may be a lot of things.
He'll make you dance with some of everything.
But Michael Jackson is not an abuser of animals, is he? Feds endorse Jackson's animal love. He may be a lot of things, but Michael Jackson is not an orangutan abuser. That's the one thing he's never been accused of.
He just sticks to kids.
I don't know if you could ever actually possess an orangutan, right? We finished off the show yesterday talking about the family pets and you know, a whole lot of issues coming up. Obviously, people got a lot of feelings for animals, and now this whole, every move this morning is animal love. You got Michael Jackson; he's got a problem with his orangutans. Here, we got a dog that can sniff cancer. There's a few others here. Anyways, I got to maintain that I don't know if you can actually keep an orangutan for a house pet. Do you think? Let's ask the guy from Siegfried and Roy. Can you keep a wild animal for a house pet?
Well, Jackson had a whole farm at Neverland, didn't he?
Oh, let me go ahead.
He had elephants and monkeys and orangutans.
Here you go. So it says the Department of Agriculture inspector sent to check up on the critters residing at Neverland Ranch following a complaint last month from the people from PETA. And they went on the Jacko Attacko after seeing a European tabloid claiming Neverland's exotic menagerie, which includes giraffes, elephants, flamingos, and orangutans, were kept in substandard conditions when he went to the Middle East. And then somebody said, I'm unaware of any violations of the Animal Welfare Act at Neverland, says a fellow from the USDA. I got to question this. Can you actually keep any kind of animal caged up, even at an extraordinary zoo? Even if you have the San Diego, where it's a complete installation, Tigerland or whatever, anything less than an acre and a half for a wild animal strikes me as cruelty. What do you think?
Well, I think that they'll eventually, as Siegfried and Roy taught us, they will get back at you. You know, they're going to harbor that resentment for just so long.
You know, they think of me as an employee of CBS here, and I think every time they say that, you know, you're an employee here. I think, you know, ask the guy in Siegfried and Roy if he still thinks that tiger's an employee.
You know, I heard that tiger's got a cold that just won't go away.
You think the tiger's gay?
I just heard he's got a cold.
It's there. No, no. This is rumor. It's hearsay. Rumor. Word around the campfire. You're welcome to the campfire, Roth Radio. Robin, how are you this morning?
I am living the dream, Dave.
Animal, welcome to New York City.
Hey, how you doing this morning,
Dave?
Be
young, be bad, be live, be for real, baby. He's kind of a one-man band there. Be Young is with us out here from L.A. You guys going to stick for a few more days?
Oh, we're going to stay long as you want us, Dave.
Okay, because I'm discussing here things that affect a lot of people here, and I've been getting a lot of noise about, you know, how I approach animals, and I want to readdress one thing here when I started talking about dogs yesterday. I maintain that dogs don't feel love for you the way that human beings feel love for you. But absolutely. And I'm getting emails, you know, from all points of view here. And let me clarify a little bit. I think that a lot like my last relationship or two, that dogs are capable of extreme loyalty, extreme familiarity, extreme responsibility. And that basically the rest of it is result-oriented. I don't know if we can qualify, you know, as far as small house pets, but I'm bugged by the orangutan abuse. I don't think that you can have actually a whole bunch of wild animals. How do you keep a giraffe? How do you walk a giraffe?
How do you bathe them?
How do you give enough attention to a giraffe? I'm struggling with getting a terrier. I can't... You know, I'm a once a week to the striptease place. You know, that's my level of. I'm a very accountable guy. How do I maintain that level of commitment with a giraffe or a hippopotamus? What else does he have? Flamingos.
Now, will the giraffe ever sleep at your feet? That's what.
Can you teach a giraffe tricks?
Maybe you need some basketball players or something to walk in.
Seriously, this is an issue because you know what? A lot of people have wild animals in their possession, and I don't think you can have that.
No, that's wrong. And Paris Hilton did it recently. She had I don't know if it was a tiny little monkey. Or something, yeah. And people really came down on her and said, these things are not fashion accessories, and they took it away from her.
You know, they have a huge problem with this in France, especially in Paris, France, in the, the Maghreb, I think it's called, which is the community that is all Islamic and coming from Algeria and so forth. And they have a major issue, have had it for many years, where fellas coming from Algeria and Morocco and these areas bring in these little monkeys. And they're called macaques, okay? And this may be
macaques.
No, don't, seriously, M-A-C-A-Q, you knock it off. It's too early for you, animal.
I know, but I'm maintaining.
it's called a macaque, and it's a little kind of thing like a tarsier sometimes. You see them with the big eyes, and they're right in the front like a little kid's toy or something. And what happens is that when they're very young, they're very docile, much like I was.
I doubt that.
Don't believe that.
Oh, yeah, they'll fool you. Look out for the guns, they'll get you.
But did you have claws?
And the teeth that bite, the claws that scratch. Beware the frumious bandersnatch. And that's Lewis Carroll, so knock it off, animal. But they bring these in as pets. You know, folks, important, you can literally hide it in your purse, you can hide it in a shoebox or whatever. And when they're very young, they're very docile. Everything's cool. And then as they start to grow older, they're really, really social animals. You can't separate them from the group. If you do, it's like isolating somebody in prison. You know what happens if you put somebody in Supermax for a couple of months. You go nuts, and you become hostile, become really violent. And people don't realize that these kinds of critters are four times as strong as they look. And you got something that's about the size of a football. It's as strong as a baseball bat. And kids are getting bit and so forth. And they're fighting back and tearing and destroying well beyond the level of a house dog or whatever. Because they got hands as well as feet and teeth.
And thumbs.
Oh, and they got memories that are amazing, all right? You know, their level of conscious, their sentient being that's well beyond Fido or Kentucky Fried or whatever. They're almost human.
Yeah.
In fact, if you've dealt with some of the rhythm sections I have, they're almost is not a good enough calibration. Seriously. What happens, though, is they get older and they become violent because they're separated. You know, you never buy them in pairs.
They're pack animals.
Oh, totally. And if you separate them out, just like a human being, they go real bad on you. And the female's worse than ever because that's, you know, it's a matriarchal, scenario there. They can't have kids and, you know, the routine. So what folks do is they just let them go. They take them out into the parks, and they let them go up into the trees. And they go out. There's huge communities of these monkeys now that live in those trees all around the suburbia and outskirts of Paris, France now. And it's a huge issue because they're hostile, they get big, and you can never re-socialize them. Once you have a critter like that that has turned sour, it's a lot like people, isn't it? You can't redeem that. You know, you're going to go to the monkey counselor? Great, find one that speaks French.
What do they eat? Cheese?
I don't know what they eat, but what they're fed is completely wrong. What they drink is completely wrong. You know, it's like when the people take a saltwater fish home and they go, hey, if it can live in salt, it can easily live in clean water, right? Salt water tastes terrible. Let them taste some of this. 2 days later.
Fish are an avion.
Guppies up. And by the way, when I described my treatment of my goldfish, because I got some emails in regards to this, and this is what fascinates me about this job, and I love this
game. Did you get as much email as I did?
Oh, I get all kinds of email. I'm here to give the spotlight on many different subjects here. This has been a learning experience for me as much as anybody. That's why I signed up for the full term. I had described yesterday that I have an aquarium where I keep a goldfish, okay? And I call him Oscar in Spanish, you know, Oscar, whatever. And I had won him in a coin toss. Had been out with a girl, and it was a feast of San Gennaro. And she didn't want to keep it. You know, she travels around and whatever. So I took Oscar home, and I put him in a bowl. You know, it's a big bowl, actually, that I found. And I filled it up with water, and it sits right next to the stereo. Hey, that's good music for this story. And Oscar gets agitated when the stereo plays, because as you can tell in the background, these are all my records that we play on the loops and stuff like this. And it's all funk and groove, and it's all the boom and the bottom end and bass guitar should be the loudest after the lead guitar. But the bass guitar is the loudest instrument, and the band should be even louder than the vocals, right? And Oscar gets a little nuts because, you know, like when you hold a cup of, like, Schlitz malt liquor.
Yeah, it vibrates.
Or it happens with water, too. it vibrates, and you can see the ripples. And I would see the ripples on the top of the water, you know, of Oscar's bowl, and he'd start racing around. At first, I thought he was dancing. And then I realized he's getting as agitated with me as Dimitri, who lives downstairs with his two kids and his wife or whatever. So what I did the other day is I took three things of orange Jell-O, and I poured it into Oscar's bowl, stirred it up, and he seemed, you know, there's sugar in it or whatever. And I turned the air conditioner on full and left for the show. And when I got home, everything had congealed. And now when I play the bass, it takes Oscar about 14 minutes to get from one side of the bowl to the other.
How wide is the bowl, Dave?
It's about almost a foot and a half.
Yeah, okay.
It's like that bad Jell-O. It's like the bad Jell-O that your relatives used to make when you were young, and it always had stuff floating in it. That creepy fruit and bananas.
I'll discuss that with you in a second.
Fish Jell-O.
I was raised on that, and now little Oscar, you know, you sit there and go, come on, boy. Come on, boy. And he races right up. You can see now, after a few days now, his little wings are a little more buff. You know, he's got a little attitude now. You know, I don't know. It's actually a joke, though. Come on, man.
Big wounds.
So did people write to you about that?
Yeah, they actually believe that.
They did?
There's going to be a run on Jell-O today.
Oh, man. They didn't know Jell-O would kill the fish? Come on.
Of course Jell-O would kill the fish. You know? Or would it?
Emails on it. Oh, man.
It would be like he's... I can see him like he's hovering in the middle of the bowl, right?
Being a New York fish, I'm surprised he didn't just take a broomstick and like bang it on the side of the bowl when your music was too loud.
Hey, what'll be funny? Yeah.
Hey, what are you thinking out there?
What'll be funny is if all these people try this and they say, yeah, I'm taking David Lee Roth's advice and I'm going to do this with my fish, and we'll get all these stiff fish all over.
Yeah, okay, I want to go on record. That's why I want to go on record with this stuff, okay? No, I didn't do that, but it's a great story, isn't it? And you can use it for yourself, characterize it with your own fish name, and you can get free drinks and shock and horror out of the local day marine.
You can do it with saltwater fish, too, and make aspic.
Sick, but true. It is. I feds endorsed Jackson's Animal Love. Isn't that what happened last year?
Yeah, I think so.
But I repeat myself.
He only likes the young animals.
I have a problem with this. As I love animals. That's not an issue at all. I've always owned a dog. The family always had a dog. We owned horses, cats, birds, et cetera, et cetera. The only reason that I don't own at least one dog these days is I just took on something that most people take on when they're 21 years old. This is a step through a door that is a complete revision here. I feel, you know, when Robin, you know better than anybody, it's like living on an aircraft carrier. Hey,
yes,
Bakai.
A very small aircraft carrier.
Bakai, you're on at 4. Animal, knock it off. Be young, 6 o'clock. Oh, dark 30, let's hear the rock and roll. That's what it feels like. So, you know, it reverses, and I'm really accountable to animals. It makes me a little bit nuts, in fact, when you talk about something like an orangutan, which really has a cognitive ability, okay, which really is the closest thing to human beings, no joke intended.
Absolutely.
And he's going to leave that in a cage to what? The people who are supposed to clean the cage, right?
Well, that was the picture that was in the news, was elephants and giraffes and a whole lot of poop. And that was that's what sparked this whole thing, is that somebody took a picture and it got into the news, and they said he was mistreating the animals because the cages weren't clean. Now, mind you, these cages were huge. I mean, it wasn't really a cage.
Palatial cages.
Yeah,
right?
You know, as much as a grounds to walk around on. But I don't know.
Is there such a thing as a palatial cage?
I've lived in a few.
I call it a tomb with a view. That's the best you can do. That's the best a palatial cage can be. Palatial cage, though, that sounds like a good video.
Well, the difference between a palatial house and a palatial cage is who you're living with.
Okay.
Who you're in there with.
Do you consider who you're living with an orangutan?
I have in the past.
You're bitter. And so am I. Roth Radio. We are bitter. It's New York, Philadelphia. This is a palatial cage, right?
Yeah.
Don't look at me like an orangutan. Yeah. We're talking to Dallas, Texas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. I don't know if you want to take calls this early. I can barely even find my cell phone at this. 866-313-3733. I think that, we can dovetail this. It's not actually a phone conversation subject. But is there ever a time when torture is reasonable? What happens if all those animals died?
Are you talking about torture of animals? Or
no, I'm talking about torturing Michael Jackson. We'll get it out of him. See how I took like two different news stories and I put it together?
Well, isn't living in Bahrain torture enough?
You know, that could be.
It could be.
And the first prize is 1 year in Bahrain. No, second place is 1 year in Bahrain. First, and no, I screwed the joke up. It's too early for this.
It's easy to spot him, though, because he's the only one with a sparkly turban on his right hand.
Like on television when the guy would predict the future, the amazing whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Kreskin.
Kreskin. Yeah.
That's fascinating. So what, he's unnoticed in Bahrain? I don't think so.
Yeah, he's buying property. That was a big story yesterday.
A lot of people are buying property over in that part of the world. In Dubai?
And that is expensive property.
Wow. Dubai, Beckham, the football player, is buying over there, and Brad Pitt and Jolie are over there now. That's becoming a happening place in the world for more than just the Foreign Legion. Not for me.
Scare me to death. You'd never get me there.
Certainly not for orangutans. But for Mike and Brad, it's a good thing. No, again, I got a problem with this. If you guys like, my sister turned me on to this. The PETA website is an interesting thing here. You know, we make a lot of fun. We joke about Pam Anderson and the bust of Kentucky Fried Colonel or whatever. When you see what's going on behind the scenes, you know, as whoever was it said, you don't want to see how laws are made in Congress, and you don't want to see how Kentucky Fried Chicken is made behind the scenes. You'll lose your appetite for both. And it wasn't Mark Twain who said Kentucky Fried Chicken. I said that. Okay. He said it's something about Chinese food, I think. Animal?
Yeah.
Was it about Chinese food?
It was sausage, so wasn't it? We all want to eat the sausage, but we don't want to see how it's made.
Even better. Or, you know, from a woman's point of view, I'll accept that.
Man, like, it's kind of like eating that souse meat from down south, man. It's made with all the parts of the hog that you throw away. It's very nasty when you make it, but it's very good with cheese and crackers.
Oh. In St. Louis, they eat, I think it's actually pig's face, and they call it snoots.
You know what? I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. You ever had a pig ear sandwich, Robin?
A pig? Is his microphone blowing up? Do you hear that in your headsets? I'm getting like distortion there. Go ahead, Animal. What is a pig ear sandwich?
Oh, a pig ear sandwich, man, it's like put mustard and hot sauce on it, put it between two pieces
of bread.
Hold
on, hold on. You save this, man. I want to change your microphone here. It's falling apart like everything else in the studio here. Guys, come on and change Animal's mic because I want to hear this. Have you ever had a pig ear sandwich?
No, but pig ears are treats, are dog treats.
Exactly.
I mean, I always have pig ears in my house.
And I was going to...
I don't eat them myself.
Watch out. The mighty animal is going to move behind you, and that's no orangutan. That's no Michael Jackson.
That's no macaque.
That's
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me
that's
now?
No Michael Jackson, little white girl.
Can you hear me now?
There you go. There you go.
He's like the cell phone commercial. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
So when I was in college, it's this restaurant behind the college. They specialized in pig ear sandwiches. And so I never really tried one.
Who specialized in a pig ear sandwich?
It's this restaurant right beside our college when I was in high school. I can't remember the name of it. I think it was called something like Pig in the Blanket or something.
Yeah, but is it like, is that a traditional barbecue kind of thing or whatever?
I imagine so, but all I know, it was very, very good. When I first, you know, tried it, it was like eating gristle, but then all of a sudden it got a taste to it, man, and it was really good, but I hadn't had one in a long time, just like hog chitlins. I would never eat nobody hog chitlins unless my mom cooked them, but now she's too blind to keep them clean.
All right, stop right there. Hold on. Take the Red Bull out of his hand.
You're too blind to keep them clean.
You got to clean them real good. You got to clean them good.
Well, we're discussing animals in general. We aren't really taking phone calls, but phone calls are showing up already. We're not averse. I'm not averse to a couple of commercials either, Hutch.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Roth, 6 a.m.
Give me some guitar in there, brother.
Well, yeah.
Don't be square.
Fire up this
fire in the studio.
Well, he may be a lot of things, but Michael Jackson is not an orangutan abuser. I'm just reading it right off the headlines here. I wouldn't be surprised if this actually came out of Page Six. We're going to get to them in just a few minutes here, where the news is the only news that we read. But this seems like news to me, because animals are all over the news, okay? And we just started off on this here with Michael Jackson. He's got a whole... It's a menagerie. It's a zoo is what he's got. Giraffes, elephant... He's got to element. He's got to effluent. That's Indiana creeping in. We don't have effluents in Indiana. Oh, no. The giraffes chased them all away. Let's see. Giraffes, effluents, flamingos, orangutans. Try and spell that at the spelling bee. T-U-N-S. No, these are wild animals, and I got a real problem with people who keep wild animals and don't spend enough time and attention. It's like anything else that, I expect you could have a wild animal in your possession, but certainly not in a... these people who keep pythons in a bathtub.
And they always get out, and they always get into the neighborhood.
Could you imagine a python? And I saw this on the news just recently where, the typical story. They're taking apart the apartment building. The python is left behind. It goes into the plumbing system. Somebody sits down to read Page Six.
And it is every woman's nightmare.
or passionate dream, depending on depending on your area code.
We have to sit. It's a nightmare.
This is an issue. Turn Robin's voice up there a little bit. So when you sit down, do you think of this? Does this pop up?
It does happen. Sometimes in the middle of the night, you've had maybe a couple too many drinks.
A couple Red Bulls.
And you get up in the middle of the night after a nightmare or something, and you walk into the bathroom, and you don't even turn on the light because it's your own house, and you sit down, and all of a sudden the thought pops into your head, and you jump up like a jack-in-the-box.
It's like the women's version of the boogeyman, but like...
Yeah, but it comes from the toilet, yeah.
Like National Geographic style. Wow.
But yeah, that's happened to me on several occasions, and I would venture to say I'm not the only one.
Wow, how does that grab you? Like a shark in the toilet, huh?
Plus, growing up in New York and Long Island, there were always those stories about people would get the little baby alligators. And
right.
Then they would get too big and they would flush them down the toilet. And so we grew up thinking, what is going to crawl out of the toilet today?
Well, it turns out that that's not an urban myth completely, because I'm seeing it on the television set. I saw it in Europe when we were traveling, or when we went about 18 months ago. I saw it happen there. Somebody like in Sheffield, England had it happen. And then here in New York just recently.
It came up.
Somebody literally didn't sit down. He opened the toilet and Christmas was early. And there was it was like an albino python. This thing was huge. This was an amazing creature. You know, it's like something from Slash's house out in Beverly Hills, right?
Yes.
Are you familiar with that animal?
Slash's python name is Pandora. And she had babies when we was in Europe. He was on the phone the whole time worrying about his babies, how many lived, how many died, all that stuff. So he's very committed to his snakes and stuff. And the reason why they was called Snake Pit, that's what they used to practice in his snake pit.
Yeah, and I know our good friend Arlette, who is our publicist for international, all right, Europe and Japan, South America and everything. And he would leave his python, okay? Slash slept over at her house when he was on his way up, when he first moved to New York, L.A., right, and before Guns N' Roses and everything.
Yeah.
So she played kind of that the matriarchal figure there a little bit, took care of him. When he travels, he would leave the snakes with her. And I had a guitar player once named Joe Holmes. He's probably a New Jersey fella. And Joe was sitting there once, and Slash was on the tour, and Arlette said, hey, no, it's no problem. You know, the snake is cool, whatever. That thing jumped on him, bit into his arm, and hung off of him. I have a picture of it. They had to call the snake handler. Joe went like weak. They didn't know if they were going to be able to, they could, were afraid to try and pry the mouth open because they were afraid that it was going to, that it was going to like lace itself around him or whatever. And he it didn't hurt him too bad. So he said he sat on the couch and drank Jack Daniels until the snake handler came over or something. And snake handler evidently knew where the right button was. I don't know.
I asked Slash, you know, have his snakes ever bit him? He said, no, but he said, my iguana bit me, messed his fingers up one time. So he got a lot of lizards, too, man.
What's the attraction for that kind of, for those kind of creatures,
man?
He just loved that kind of stuff, man.
Sorry?
Slash just loved that kind of
stuff. Yeah, but why does he just love that stuff? What's the attraction?
I guess it's this sliminess, I guess. I don't know.
No, you know what? You either buy a pet for yourself, or, like Paris Hilton, you buy a pet for other people. You follow what I'm saying?
For an accessory.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you have those kinds of critters living at your house, is that more like when you do your bedroom up in all red and black and you have the heart with the barbed wire around it and it's on flames and you got voodoo skulls and black light posters? That's not for you. That's for the girl you dragged in there, right?
Because girls love that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, reptiles. Some people.
I wouldn't know how to answer that one. Ooh.
I imagine a lot of girls do. That's a phallic symbol, right?
I suppose. And Britney's been seen with a boa. And who was the other one? Was it Janet Jackson? Was
of big course.
Time into how, those giant snakes.
Every famous striptease routine included either big fans like Japanese style or a snake. You know, what's the routine in
Blade Runner.
No, it's not. Blade Runner has an electronic snake, but I'm talking about striptease with Demi Moore, right? Oh, and then backstage, the snake dies, and the guy's got Ving Rhames has to go out and replace the snake in Miami at 3 in the morning, and it's a big problem.
Did the snake die? Did he bite into the silicone?
Which snake? Which one are you referring to? Blade Runner?
Demi Moore.
No, a gal shows up. She's the snake dancer, you know, whatever. And there's a big problem when the snake accidentally dies backstage at the striptease place. This could happen to you. It's probably happened to Alice Cooper. Think about it. It's a common prop. But I kind of thing bugs me a little bit. And if you want to dial into PETA, you could do that. There's another issue that's popping around out there is the, the dog and cat fur trade? Something that's on the internet. I think it's dogandcatfurtrade.com or whatever, coming out of China. That most of the fur trim that you're seeing on these knockoffs and everything, you know, when you buy those knockoff UGG boots that everybody wears and all of these knockoff jackets and stuff like this that you find down on whatever street, and I'm not going to say it out loud here in New York City, but we have it in every single city now. Some people say that as much as 14 to 20% of all of Southeast Asia's income is from knockoffs of different kinds of clothes, you know, whether it's Armani, Versace, Levi, et cetera, et cetera. And on those knockoffs, that's not rabbit fur, my friends. Dial in on this. My sister taught me about it. Robin, I see your look. Are you finding this?
Oh, my God. It's just awful.
It's
Yeah, it's pretty rough stuff here. And I wanted to stand up here because, you know, we can talk about all kinds of approaches to house pets and whatever. And I wanted to clarify that, you know, we stand on the right of that. So, you know, something you may want to pay attention to. And I support the PETA people. You know, I make fun of everybody. Ridicule and sarcasm were refined art forms at my dinner table growing up, Robin. You know that.
Yes, I do.
But, in fact, you know, I get along with animals a little bit, generally, a little bit better than
you
people.
You carry one with you.
Well, actually, animal carries me, darling.
See, I thought you were into pets. I knew that you were into pets, but I thought it was the penthouse kind. So.
I was wild and out of control when Dave got me, too. I was really wild, but I'm tamed.
He tamed you.
Watch this trick, Robin. See, I can set up on all twos. Look at that.
Dave hired Cesar Milan.
Actually, if you blow him a kiss, Robin, he'll set up on all three. Carmen has snakes in her toilet, I think. Carmen, give me a call here. She's on number 6 there, Hutch. Carmen, what's in your toilet that you need to tell Dave? Roth Radio, you're on.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Oh, it's a guy. What's your name, friend?
Carmen.
Okay, Carmen, talk to me. What's up?
Yeah, I was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas.
Oh, I know exactly where that is, outside of Lubbock, right?
Right.
Sure, I played there, sure.
And I used to live in a little town called Copper's Cove in a two-bedroom trailer. was a big trailer, but during the summer, they tell you, the first thing they tell you during the summer is make sure you put a heavy object on top of the toilet seat, because that was a very common event.
Is that the snakes would come up out of the toilet and push the lid open and come and visit you in your trailer?
You betcha.
This sounds like a Tarantino movie opening. This is the opening credits of the new Tarantino movie. And did this actually happen to you?
I actually didn't have a have a snake, but I had some huge spider that was the size of your hand, and you go to open up the toilet seat first thing in the morning, you know, you're letting out a big stretch. And voila, there's that spider looking right at you.
The first thing that I would think is, wow, did that just come out of me? Now, wait, so you're saying that you know people who actually had pythons that looked like Slash coming out of the toilet into your trailer to visit you. You sure that's not just a result of too much of listening to that music?
No way. I did listen to a lot of Van Halen back in the day, but I'll tell you what, that wasn't the result of it. You'd open that toilet seat with much trepidation because you didn't know what was in there.
Okay,
you'd have to knock first.
I'm taking him very seriously here because I've been in places like Tahiti where we would stay. I told you, staying in the tree house over on Moorea Island all the way back when I was a little kid back in the 60s into the South Pacific. You would have to do that. You would have to knock on the toilet. Or what I would do is I would kick the thing from a little distance because the spiders are the size of your skull. Well, animal skull. Look out, there's one now, baby! Yeah!
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Roth, 6 a.m.
Well, all right, two squares, it's time you smoked. Fire up this funk and let's have a
Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, talking wild animals. Be careful where you position your bird. Turns out a parrot reveals a sex secret. Right after this. All right. I wanted to sound like Ron Burgundy there for a second. Turns out a mouthy parrot reveals a sex secret, Robin.
Was that not the funniest movie?
Yeah, because it's so true. It's completely real. All those characters are walking around in these hallways even as we speak, right?
You know it.
I feel more like Brian Fantana, personally. Because as you may have noticed, I am wearing Sex Panther this morning. That's right,
well,
hot stuff.
It goes with the snake and animal theme.
That's right. That's so incorrect for me to even make that joke, isn't it? Oh, man. A parrot. An African gray parrot in London, England. A computer programmer had him, found out his girlfriend was having an affair when his pet parrot kept repeating her lover's name. You know, the other guy, the British media reported. The African gray parrot kept squawking, "I love you, Gary," as his owner, Chris, sat with his girlfriend, Susie, on the sofa of his shared flat, his apartment in Leeds, Northern England. But when Taylor saw his girlfriend's embarrassed reaction, he realized she had been having an affair. Animals cause great reactions. You know, when we took that last phone call about the snake coming up in the toilet and all of that, you should have heard little Robin's little knees slam shut. You could hear it all the way across the room. You could hear her little white knees slam shut with the alarming same final sound as the front door at San Quentin, baby.
I'm telling you, I'm never going to use a toilet again as long as I live.
No. You're going to have like an Indian name. Me, wee wee, no more forever.
Hello, adult diapers.
You're sick. But that's why we're here. That's why we're such good friends, baby. And that's... I don't know if these people are going to be good friends now that the bird has dropped the dime on what's her name here. But meeting her lovey while Ziggy looked on. Ziggy was the parrot. Ziggy even mimicked Colin's voice each time she answered her telephone. Hi, and he's calling out, "Hiya, Gary." "Hiya, Gary." Acting. This guy's going to have a sexual dysfunction issue. How will he ever?
Well, you know, he's walking around squawking now. "I hate you, Susie. I hate you, Susie." The guy.
What's he going to do with the bird? Because you can't extract.
She got the bird.
Oh, she took the bird with her.
She couldn't handle it. Well, yeah, because the bird just kept saying, I love you, Gary. I love you, Gary.
You can't recondition the bird.
That's right. You can't unlearn the bird.
You'd be more apt to recondition the girlfriend, huh? Wow. This guy lost big. He lost the trisacta in one evening, or several subsequent evenings, allegedly. But I wasn't sorry to see the back of Susie after what she did, he said. But it really broke my heart to let Ziggy go. Busting out! Turn up the track there. Bust it out! I'm flying out of here. That's me pretending to fly. We got a great guest, and it's really apropos of this here. Our guest coming up, he's going to be in about 15 minutes or here, so don't go away. It's David Vitale, private investigator and founder of True Test Incorporated. Are you familiar with what this is?
I am, and I just love to call him a PI.
A PI, right, or a gumshoe.
Yeah, or a private dick.
Right, the house dick. That's what they used to call him. Why would they call it that? There's got to be a real background to that name, but like the hotel cops back at the 20s and the 30s, you know, he was the house dick, like Mickey Spillane, you know, and those kind of, you know, Humphrey Bogart times, you know. Well, interesting how slang changes. We'll talk about that later. Estimated that 62% of couples cheat. I think it's probably more. What do you think?
Married couples or just any couple?
I don't know. I'm turning back into Brian Fantana from Ron Burgundy. You know, 60% of the time it works every time. It makes no sense. But you know what I'm talking about. I think it's probably more than 62%. It's like a sex survey. Who's really going to admit the good stuff anyway?
Right. There have been numbers lately, too, saying that women cheat way more than men do.
Do you think that's a truism?
I do.
Oh, well, that was a quick answer. Animal, what do you think? Is that true? Do women cheat more than men?
Probably so, because, you know, a woman, all she got to do is, like, open her legs. A man got to concentrate on football and whatever to get an erection, you know, got to get some Viagra or whatever. And then if he don't, you know, take care of business, she going to tip off and get it somewhere else.
Okay, so you're saying that calorically, it's a much greater investment. That in terms of time, effort, enthusiasm, and just plain being available to her. Is that what you're saying, Animal?
Something like that.
Something like that. Lying. Although I agree.
Thank you.
I got to agree. Guys have to work a whole lot harder there, right?
That's right.
In terms of, that's when you're in the bedroom. But in terms of subterfuge, which is kind of what I'm known for. In terms of intrigue, international intrigue.
How many Red Bulls have you had?
I'm down to the label, darling.
Dave's licking the can.
We'll get to the bottom of this after that.
How many licks does it take?
Go make fun of my Red Bull. I'm in here with a giraffe. Michael Jackson left me in the giraffe cage. You got the key?
Bad jokes, but that's why you hired me. Roth Radio, New York, you cheating slut. Philadelphia, don't lie to me, you tramp. Dallas, knock it off. Boston, like you didn't go out on me. Cleveland, of course Cleveland did. He estimates that 62% of couples cheat. He's going to come in and we're going to ask him about this. And he has a home evidence collection kit. This already sounds smarmy, but I'm interested.
I know, it's going to be like CSI with one of those blue lights over the comforter.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm hoping, though.
Oh, yeah. And well, that's evidently what it is. It's used by police and government agencies throughout the United States. So this is the real deal. This home kit, though, this is the home variety of it, lets you discreetly take a sample of any questionable type of stain and accurately identify it. Oh, man. What are you showing me? A questionable stain?
Oh, I'm saying that due to the last residents of this particular floor on this building, I think there's some questionable stains that we could be examining all over them.
I think those are more evidence of aliens visiting us from the last guest we had last week, Hutch.
Alien slime. All right.
Those are results of sex experiments with aliens.
The probing, yeah.
Oh, Dave, I forgot to tell you, I walked in the bathroom.
Speaking of.
I saw him. He was using the bathroom. He
wait,
was
wait,
using
wait.
All three stalls.
So the guy that we interviewed was actually an alien himself?
Yes, sir. Because I walked in the bathroom like, wow, that's That's interesting. Should I walk out and come in again?
Bravo, sir.
No. That's amazing. Wow. We actually interviewed an alien.
Yes, we did.
He smelled like one, I'll tell you. I was sitting next to the guy.
No. He was a good guy, and I think he had a point here. But what we're talking about is questionable types of stains. Would this be... Look at Robbins. What? Everybody, I told everybody, if you're laughing into the mic, you turn your head. They laugh so hard, they fall off the stools now. Oh, put her back up there, animal. Jeez.
Okay, hold on. Let me put Robin back up.
This home kit lets you discreetly take a sample of any questionable type of stain. So we're kind of reflecting on Monica Lewinsky's blue tunic or whatever that was. She had a blue dress that had a questionable stain. And
apparently it was a blue and white dress.
Okay. It's your partner, and you have the right to know if they are engaging in any risky behavior. Okay, so now he's substantiating this. This goes well beyond... I loved you. I was the best thing you ever had. Why did you cheat on me? You know, and that goes from guys to gals and gals to guys. Okay. And, but he's talking here that this can, you want to prevent risky behavior that results in unwanted pregnancies, STDs, and HIV. And that's a big consideration, you think?
Yeah, you'd think cheating would have gone down after that. And it probably did the first few years of the AIDS crisis. And, now, you know, I guess everybody's somewhat apathetic again.
Just like Homeland Security. It's okay to take your ice pick on the plane, kid. Whatever. We haven't lost a building in a year. Yeah.
You can't take a lighter, but you can take your ice pick. You know, it's funny, on the plane, you see this thing I have in my hair? It's just...
It's an ice pick!
It's, you know, one of those little sticks that you make a bun and stick the stick
through. Yeah, they call them chop.
Yeah, it's like one chopstick, but I have one that's metal and it's really pointy and... I was going to wear it on the plane, and I thought they're going to take this away from me. I could definitely kill someone with this.
And they didn't take it away from you?
No, they didn't.
Well, there you go. There's a subject for tomorrow, maybe, huh?
There you go.
In the right hands, a deadly weapon.
It's like an ice pick, you know? It looked like a tuning fork.
Of course.
But with real pointy things on it.
Of course. And a lot of times, gals, I remember my grandmother teaching my sisters to keep one long pin like that. It was about 4.5 inches long.
Like a hat pin?
Like a hat pin. And put it in the back of their hair for home defense, Indiana style. Oh, that's serious stuff. If you don't see it coming... You know.
Yeah, we were taught to lace your keys through your fingers with the, with the serious end out
in case you
had to throw a punch.
Anyways, we got people checking for unwanted pregnancies, STDs, and HIVs. I think that would be the first thing on my mind. You know, as far as fidelity, you either got it or you don't.
Oh, come on! If you're gonna go to the trouble of checking to see if somebody's cheating by hiring somebody, that's all about a payday, don't you think?
Because
wouldn't you just leave otherwise?
Okay, that's a very good question. If you're checking on somebody, it's probably A, because you love them and you don't want to lose them. Is that a reasonable thought?
Yeah.
And you're saying that in a certain percentage of times, it's you kind of know and you're hoping it so you can prove it and get to the next phase of things.
Exactly.
I just want to make sure I'm clear on that.
And the next phase is a check.
You mean in terms of payout?
Yeah, if you're going to get divorced, you need proof of infidelity in order to sue for that or something. I don't really know, but
sure.
I would think that if you have proof, the payday will be bigger.
Sure enough, especially in the day of telephoto lenses, mm-hmm. You know, phone records, internet and everything. And Dave Vitale is going to tell us all about that stuff. Because, you know, I just saw Chinatown with, Jake Gittes, you know, Nicholson, the PI, you know,
yeah.
Who's taking pictures of people with a little Rolleiflex whatever camera and, you know, hiding on the roof. You don't have to do that anymore. You can come in through the phone line or sneak in through the computer.
Through the toilet.
I've been watching... Yeah. I've been watching you on your TV set for the last 2 weeks, Rob.
I know everything you've eaten.
Oh, yeah. That's what's next, right? And you can make that proof. You know, you show up with what happens is you get the manila envelope of pictures. The gumshoe walks in, flips the manila envelope onto your desk and goes, you may want to look at these before we negotiate.
And they're always black and white glossies.
That's right. And it's people out front, like Gotti style. You know, two people in front of a bar in Brooklyn, you know, or they're getting into a car and then there's the one where they're kissing. Boom. Plot point established, right?
That's right. Do you ever see that show, Cheaters?
No, what was that?
Yeah.
It was Nick and I talk about a guilty pleasure. It was they would follow people, and it was always boyfriend and girlfriend. Nobody was ever married.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah,
that was
me
so
too.
Oh, it was so much fun.
I wanted to be one of the security guards that rolled around with that, man.
That's the next phase. Once you've copped to it, what are you going to do about it, huh? Don't go away. We've got Dave Vitale, private investigator and founder of the True Test Home Evidence Collection Kit, coming on. He's going to be our guest at what time? I don't know what time.
I thought it was 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
It may be 8 o'clock. Well, you know what? We're going to open up the phones on this subject anyway. Go to a commercial. I'm going to cheat on Robin.
David Lee Roth. Mornings.